Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Bills fans. Let's go, Buffalo! By Bills fans.
Only Buffalo is going to win it!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
This place is pandemonium!
Here's Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn.
Welcome back for another edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn, Alex Jones, happy to be joining you as the Bills are 4-0, getting set to take on the 2-2 New England Patriots coming up on Sunday Night Football from Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. So here the Bills are. They're 4-0, but I don't know. I kind of had a funky taste in my mouth, as I think a lot of Bills fans did. Watching the Bills, you know, it's a 12-point win over the Saints, but, you know, I wasn't loving the performance of this team throughout the course of the game. A lot of penalties. Josh Allen with his first pick thrown of the year. I mean, all in all, winners find ways to win, losers find ways to lose. They, you know, statistically, it wasn't horrible outside of the penalties, but defensively, they let the run game gash him again. I don't know. How did you feel about this one, Alex?
I think the Bills fans came into this game with the mindset of, like, the Saints are awful. The Saints are an NFL team. Their players are the best players from their college, from their high school, from almost everything, right? Unless there's a better player on a better team. We got to stop undercutting the value of teams. Like, yeah, they played really bad against the Seahawks. They were going west. Might not have traveled well, whatever. Genuinely, I had this whole time. Josh looks different this year. And I think he finally got that MVP and it kind of, like, mellowed him out to, like, I almost validated him. And now he's like, I'm just big game hunting. The Bills have a singular focus in mind, and that is getting to the Super Bowl. And I'll be honest with you, I think this game was that. I think they were like, we're not starting anybody that possibly could, you know, that has injury bugs. I think we're going with, like, a real simplified look. And I'll be honest, I think the Bills did a really, they won, like you said, Brad, winners find a way to win. They found a way to win. And it almost feels like the Chiefs team from a few years ago, the one that won the Super Bowl, where I was like, how do they keep winning? And it's just like, because they just find ways to win. They're winners. They're going to find a way to win.
Yeah, and I don't know if it felt this way to you too, but to me, the way the flow of the game, the mistakes and everything, the way, like you said, I think they're trying to keep stuff off of the game film. A little more vanilla. It almost felt like a preseason game to me, just a little bit.
Yeah, and I think they kind of, the Bills, I don't think are going to show anything. I think the Bills are fine with being 5-2 by 5. I think they're like, hey, if we're 5-2, we're golden. I mean, look at the Ravens have completely imploded. The Chiefs looked good against the Ravens, but that seemed to be more that the Ravens couldn't get out of their own way. In a very non-Ravens performance where they kind of just lost their minds for a while. Like, genuinely, like, watching them play that game against the Chiefs, the Ravens, they looked like they were chasing from the second they stepped on the field. And, I mean, Joe Burrow's injured. The Colts are number two in the AFC right now. It is a time where the Bills, I think, are going to... They know where they are in the standings. They know how much room they have to give and how much. And they're just going to sit back and be like, you know what? We're good. We're just going to sit back. We're going to do our thing. We're going to execute at a high level. And until we need to drag ourselves in the deep water, why would we go there and swim? You know, every game is not the Super Bowl to them. The Super Bowl is the Super Bowl, right? That was the Saints Super Bowl. If the Saints had somehow pulled off that miracle, that would have been the highlight of the Saints season. You would have seen their players dancing on social media, drinking champagne in the locker room, celebrating like they just won, like they just won the Super Bowl, because that was their moment. And the Bills just snuffed it out and said, you know what, we're going to do enough to win. And that's what they did.
Yeah, 100% in this one. I mean, the Saints kind of played that way. When you're throwing out trick plays where Chris Olave is throwing the ball, by the way, a spectacular one-handed grab by Cole Bishop. I'm still not sold on him just yet. He looked out of position a lot in this game, but at least for me, he softened my criticism with that INT.
I'll be honest. I think it was more they were just taking advantage of some bad play from the quarterback. I'll be honest, Brad, I would not be shocked if you see Dorian Strong taking more reps. If you legitimately, we might see Dorian Strong take over that role from Jadavious White. He's just looked a step behind this year. He hasn't looked the same. And I just don't think his body's where he needs it to be for him to be the player he needs to be.
All right, speaking of bodies, you know, I think it showed that obviously Matt Milano and Etta Oliver weren't there in this game. You know, I think those guys are missed. Hopefully they're back this week. We'll talk about this week's game coming up here. But one bright spot here is Deion Walker. He looks like the real deal. I think he's played exceptionally well. He's gotten pressure. But then you look at a veteran like Joey Bosa, who we saw him whiff on tackles multiple times in this game. I don't know if it's concerning or not because, you know, we took him on a one-year flyer, but from a bright spot standpoint, it's nice to see the rookie, Deion Walker, really. I think so far of that draft class, he's shown the most, at least on film and on paper.
He definitely has. I also think that, to be honest with you, I think Bosa's issue is just that, like, Bosa is a true edge pass rusher, and when you go against teams that are a more traditional offense, like this week, he is going to be successful. It's those weird offenses that kind of don't do normal football stuff or trying the more collegiate style of play. I mean, to be honest with you, the Saints offense looked very much like a college offense currently in college football. You know, it was a lot of quick hitters, a lot of rollouts, a lot of keeping everybody on the toes. And when they went to a more traditional offense, the Bills stuffed them. And so it's one of those times where the gimmicky stuff was working, so they kept going to it. And I think Joey Bosa just is like, all my life I was coached, put hand in dirt, go get quarterback. And they don't follow the rules anymore, and I feel like an old man yelling at a cloud. And it's, you know, he had that really good game against Miami. And then against these Ravens, he looked bad. Against the Jets, he didn't look bad. And so it's kind of like, I think, too, a big part of it is they did not intend Joey Bosa to be a fundamental cornerstone. I think when they brought Michael Hockin, they thought that's going to be a guy who takes, and they knew about the suspension after signing him, but they still knew about, but I think they still thought he was going to be a more of a cornerstone piece than Joey Bosa, where it's like, hey, Hawk, we bring in on the rundowns, Bosa, we bring in the pass downs, and we're good to go. And it's like, Joey Bosa's most elite skills are that of a pass rusher, almost complementary to Greg Rousseau, who is one of the most elite edge rushing run defenders in the NFL. And I've been hearing a lot of people be like, well, you know, we paid him all this money, but edge Greg Rousseau is literally what Sean McDermott wanted from Jack Lawson, which is like, you can get me 11 sacks a season, you can go off in a couple games, and you're going to be an elite edge setter and run stuffer. And I think that's what Sean McDermott likes from a defensive end, is like, hey, I can trust you to do something elite, and I can trust you to do the other part good. Like, that in my mind is exactly what Sean McDermott wants. He wants elite traits and then to be good at the other stuff. And I think that that's a big part of this defense that not a lot of people are recognizing. Is, hey, yes, they're banged up. Our guys playing faster than they wanted to, but absolutely. I think also Larry Ogunjobi getting suspended really hurt them as well. You know, I think they had planned on bringing people along slower, and they have to have these young kids grow up super fast. And you know what? We also kind of forget, Moore is a good play calling coach. He called the offense. He's a really good play caller. He just won a Super Bowl with Philadelphia.
Well, the Bills find a way. They get it done. Final score 31-19 from Highmark Stadium. A game I was there. Got the chance to enjoy it with my dad. It was fun. We had a good time and all, but there was those nerves in there. Like we said, it wasn't the cleanest game we have ever seen. It had a very preseason-like feel, and I just feel like the penalties really interrupted the flow of the game. It really felt very clunky, very choppy, especially when Buffalo kept getting half the distance to the goal after short, being pinned deep. I think that was, second, third quarter? I think it was actually both quarters, in fact. But, ultimately, they found a way. They won the game. They're 4-0.
Yeah, and I think you get that with those ticky-tack crews. There's a lot of crews out there which are much, like, they just throw a lot of flags. Like, every year, you can read about the groups. They're like, hey, you have this group. They really don't throw flags. And you have this group, they're going to throw. And those, to me, watching from home, were like iffy at best calls.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where you're like, all right, another one. All right, another one. Now, opposite of that, Brad, that series really kind of showed, and this game, and I mean, honestly, through the season so far, James Cook has become arguably one of the top five best running backs in the NFL.
Yeah. James Cook, named AFC Offensive Player of the Month, has had 100 yards in the last three games, has had a touchdown in every single game, at least a touchdown. He had two in the Jets game, finishes last week 117 yards on the ground with a touchdown, also had 18 receiving yards as well in that game. So James Cook, the cook has been in the kitchen offensively here for the Buffalo Bills, and I think they've gotten exactly what they paid for in him.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like he's even elevated his game more than last year. A lot of Cook's long touchdowns last year were manufactured runs that he used his body control to get open. But that, you know, the offensive line, I think he's averaging like 4.75 yards before contact, which was well and above the best in the NFL for qualified backs. And this year he's dealt with heavier boxes. He's dealt with a lot more scrutiny, and he has done a fantastic job raising his game and elevating it to the point that he is now one of the most elite running backs in the NFL.
Yes, indeed. So the Buffalo Bills, like I said, they moved to 4-0 on the season with a 31-19 win here in Orchard Park over the New Orleans Saints. He's Alex Jones. I'm Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. Follow us across Twitter at DHS Buffalo. Follow Alex at TW Callahan DHS. You can follow me at Bills Bruiser. Find us at facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Drafthouse and DrafthouseSports.com. All right, we move on. Week 5 in the NFL. The Buffalo Bills will get set to host their AFC East rivals, the New England Patriots, in this one. And New England coming to town with a familiar face, former Buffalo Bills number one wide receiver, who eclipsed 100 yards for the first time since he played for the Bills. Let's remember he was a Texan last year in Stephon Diggs. Curious what that reunion is going to be like. And if I was going in this game, I'm not full, admittedly. I didn't feel like going into work being tired on Monday. I'll be tired from watching it at home. Sold my tickets for a sizable profit. I'm going to sit back and enjoy this game. But if I was there, I hate to say it, I loved Diggs when he was here. Named our dog after Diggs. But the way he left, the way he acted like a spoiled little brat, I would be prepared to boo him in this one just based on his attitude and how he acted his last couple years here in Buffalo. I don't know your sentiment on this one. I think you're probably a little more forgiving with Diggs than I am, but I think it's going to be an interesting reunion.
See, to me, I think this is exactly what he wants from Buffalo fans. He wants the Bills fans to boo him, you know, to yell at him. He revels in that kind of thing. Genuinely, the way, like, a person like Stefon Diggs, how you truly get under the skin is you just show true indifference. Don't boo him. Just be like, oh, hey, what's up? And then just move on. Because what he wants is the reaction, right? He is looking for the thing to be like, they booed me, and then I went for 130 yards in the air and two touchdowns. And it's like, if you cheer him, it's disingenuous. If you boo him, he feeds off it. Don't give, he's like a fire. How do you put out a fire? You remove the oxygen from the equation. Just don't give him anything. He's like, oh, hey, boo. Oh, yeah, anyways, back to our normal thing. Like, who cares? Like, at this point, the Bills are better off. They made their decision. We got a kick out of it. Why do we care?
Well, the Patriots come to town. Drake May actually has more passing yards than Josh Allen. Just as many attempts, but accurate numbers here. 91 of 123. 7 touchdowns, 2 picks. One of those was at least an end zone pick in their loss to the Steelers. But so far, the second-year guy out of North Carolina is looking solid. But I feel like everyone's quick to give him his flowers already. Has he truly arrived yet? They played a very inferior team last weekend in the Carolina Panthers. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a New England hater because I am a New England hater. But I don't know. I'm kind of keeping my reservations with him. And I don't know if I'm 100% sold yet. Everyone's so quick to acclaim and say, oh, he's the next Tom Brady, he's the next this, he's the next that. I'm willing to reserve a little more judgment. I think that he could be very good in this league here. I think Josh McDaniels has designed a good offense around him and kind of catered to him. But I'm not 100% sold yet. I'm really hoping that this is a game where the Bills really get home on him. We see Joey Bosa come off the edge. We see Greg Rousseau come in. We see them make him uncomfortable. We see him make turnovers in this game. That's what I'm looking for.
I also think it was really interesting to see the hallmark of Sean McDermott against young quarterbacks is that he shows them it's a shell game, right? He's constantly moving around, tricking young quarterbacks. It's been like a noted thing while he's been in the league is young quarterbacks specifically struggle against him because essentially he shows them, basically he shows them 9/10 of a duck and like, see, it's a duck. And they're like, ah, it's a duck. I'm going to do this. And they're like, actually, it was goose the whole time. And he didn't do that against Spencer Rattler. Bobby Babbage, Sean McDermott didn't do that against Spencer Rattler. And it was really interesting to me because I'm wondering if they weren't, hey, we're not going to show anything on film headed into this week because we already pretty comfortable that we're going to get this game. Let's go with vanilla on vanilla, and we're going to pull out a lot of the weirder stuff for Drake May and bring him back down the earth.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking or really hoping for in this one. And another thing I hope for, just from a Bills standpoint here, it's funny. Statistically right now, neck and neck, Stefon Diggs is the leading receiver for New England with 19 receptions, 213 yards. Cam Coleman, 17 receptions, 203 yards. Neck and neck, I wouldn't say Coleman came in and replaced Diggs, but he was kind of the next big key wide receiver that they brought in for Josh as a weapon back in the 2024 draft that... That was one of my disappointing thoughts was I thought he looked promising early and they just went away from him. That I hope that he's a big impact for this Buffalo Bills team here in week 5.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the Bills offense is Joe Brady being a Sean Payton disciple makes so much sense because the everybody eats mantra is the truth. but it's all matchup based, right? Oh, hey, we're going to go here, we're going to go here, we're going to go here. Dalton Kincaid getting the long touchdown when they weren't, you know what, those weren't athletic linebackers. We're going to put them in conflict and get Dalton Kincaid open. I would expect this week, to be honest with you, is the Bills might just pound the rock. This might be a James Cook showcase game, like a 210-yard game. Don't get me wrong, Vrabel loves playing in between the tackles, but it, to me, that's a spot you can take advantage of. The Dolphins put up a billion points on them. The Steelers put up a billion points on them. There is hay to be made on the defensive side of the ball, and I think the Bills are ready to take full advantage of it.
You talk about the Gronkak, you know, it could be a ground and pound type game, and I could totally see that happening. My question for you, Alex, is what are your thoughts on Ray Davis? Because I feel like, you know, through just a couple games here, we haven't seen a whole lot out of Ray Davis. He's played in each game, but he's only had 11 carries. He's only had 29 yards. We're getting almost more of a contribution here for Ty Johnson, whose numbers aren't eye-popping or anything like that. Only coming in here with, 43 yards on the season, but on 8 carries. I don't know. I feel like we're seeing a lot out of James Cook, and we're not seeing a lot out of the complimentary backs on this team so far.
No, I think that's because genuinely, I think McDermott and Bean through the first part of his contract were like, we need to get Ray to his, or we need to get James Cook to his second contract, right? The whole concept was, because the whole time Sean McDermott's been here, he's wanted a bell cow back on offense. He is a firm believer in that system, that philosophy of having that one guy who is the guy on
All right, a little bit of technical difficulty with Alex here. He is traveling right now, but working. Looks like we got you back here, Alex. Back into continuing your thoughts on the running back, how McDermott has his bell cow there with James Cook.
I think they realized in camp how precious he was as a back and how much he had grown and got himself ready, and physically he was at his physical prime. And I think the Bills were like, we're going to just feed him the rock. We paid him. Now we're going to feed him the rock. And I'm okay with it, too, because Ray Davis isn't getting a lot of tread on the tie. So in 3 years, hey, you know what? Ray will give you a bridge deal. Let's get you some extra touches. And you know what? I'm okay with them basically being like, unless we need to use Ray, we're not going to use it.
Well, let's go through and cover the injury report here for the Buffalo Bills through this week. Spencer Brown was out this week. He's been limited both Wednesday and Thursday in practice here. Jackson Hawes, ankle injury is how he's listed here. He was limited this week as well. And Oliver, great to see that he didn't practice the last couple weeks. Limited in practice both Wednesday and Thursday. The same for Matt Milano with the pectoral injury. One concern is Dorian Williams, but if Matt Milano is good to go, then I would feel confident here. Dorian has been a good depth piece, if Matt Milano's in, I'm feeling fine here. Joey Bosa just had a little bit of veteran rest. He looks fine, full participant today. TJ Sanders was limited with a knee injury, did not practice yesterday, and then Dorian Strong, he did not practice today, so we'll see. We talked about him possibly rising up the depth chart. As for the New England, no one super concerning. I know Milton Williams, a defensive end, did not practice today with an ankle injury, but no other major concerns I'm seeing, at least from the injury report, from the New England Patriots this week.
No, I mean, they're coming in this game relatively unscathed so far, but this is kind of the MO, right? Like, I don't know. There always feels like a team who has the juju around them, and it just feels like the Bills are the Duke brothers this year, right? Are the Dukes of Hazzard, where they're like, how are these boys going to get out of it? And then they just keep getting out of it. It was the same way with that Chiefs team that won the Super Bowl. You're like, how do the Chiefs keep winning. Yeah. And they just kept finding ways to win. And you're like, but this week is going to be the week. And it's like, no. And then they're like, this week's going to be the week. And the Bills finally beat them in KFC, in KC. But I think it's one of those things where the Bills are kind of that this year where it's like, don't get me wrong, the bettors aren't super happy with the Bills because they're a team that's going to, I think they're 3-1 against the spread right now. But when you're looking at maybe they're two and two against the spread. When you're looking at teams who are going to win, they are that team.
Buffalo comes into this one 7.5-point favorites. Like you said, 2-2. They did not cover the last two games. 12.5-point favorites against Miami, 1-10. 14.5-point favorites against New Orleans, 1-12. So we'll see if they cover.
I'm wondering, too, Brad, what they would have been against. I don't know what the spread was against Baltimore. They might be 1-3 against the spread right now.
You know what? That's a good one. I'd have to go back and check the Baltimore game, but the Jet game, I'm pretty sure they went and they covered that one. I think they were 9 points, and they won that by a final score of 31-10, so they really cruised in that one, but it looks like Baltimore. Baltimore was in a 1.5-point favorite.
Okay, so they covered there too. So 2-2 against the spread. But again, they are entering the phase of like, hey, we are who we are. To quote the Enigma Kesha, they are a team with a singular focus, and that is to win. And you can tell that by how they play the game. Don't get me wrong, I'm still a little sick and tired of like a very classic thing the Bills do on offense, which is like, we first series out of halftime, we do really well, and then we get this like weird, very it's a thing that's been existent through every offensive coordinator. So I feel like it's Sean McDermott, where they're like, we're gonna run the ball, basic plays in the third quarter, and they get stopped, and then they get like weird, they try like a weird, cute third down. And it's like, no, just listen, James Cook's getting 8 yards a carry. Just run him up the middle. And it's like, what if we did an end around in a quick screen? And you're like, don't do it.
Yeah, like that one they ran there with Shakir in, was that fourth down? Yeah, everyone was like, what are they doing?
And it's a classic over thing where you're like, oh, I'm going to have to. Like, nope. The beauty of like the truly the best football coaches go, I run my system. You're going to have to counter program against me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And we'll see what Joe Brady draws up here. And like I said, I'm curious what Bobby Babich's defense does this week. Do they get home? Do they bring a lot of pressure? Do they shut down the run game? They limit Ramondre Stevenson in this one? I feel like this is going to be a tough game. It's a divisional game, I think. 7.5-point spread is fair, but I do think that Buffalo is clearly the better team here. They've shown it year in and year out. So, I think this should be a really good matchup. Televised nationally on NBC on Sunday Night Football. Mike Tirico on the play-by-play. Chris Collinsworth on color. And, I'm looking forward to this one. I don't know. I think this is going to be a very, very close game, but I would expect Buffalo to come on top, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be division games are always interesting, right? Guys get up for it. It's a Sunday night game. This also feels like, could be a classic, like, home team blowout where it's just like, hey, from the word go, they were, like, they just had control of the game the whole time.
Yeah. And that's what I'm curious, too, to see is what does Buffalo do on their first offensive drive? We talked about coming out sharp in the second half, where I feel in a lot of the ball games, that first drive we see them go 3-and-out. It feels like more often than not. I need to go statistically back that up, but I'm just going off of recent memory here that I feel like it's that second drive where it really clicks the first drive. It seems like they make it a first down. They're usually punting on that drive.
Yeah. And you know what? It's just A hypothetical, Brad, is a good one I'd heard recently, off topic completely. Would you trade one Super Bowl if either one of Brandon Bean, Josh Allen, Sean McDermott retired immediately after it? You don't know which one. It's literally like a wheel spins, but one of them retires after.
Huh. That'd be interesting.
At the Super Bowl party, like at the Super Bowl parade, hey, you know what? This has been my life's work. I want to take this moment and retire from professional football. Would you take that?
I don't know. That's an interesting bet. I would say I would not. I feel like with what they've done, this is a group that McDermott had become. He's a guy who would say, all right, we did well. Let's do it again. Let's prove that we're a dynasty in this league. That would be my bet.
Well, and that's the thing. It's essentially a gamble on genuinely in your heart of hearts, do you think the Bills can win a Super Bowl? And I think they do, which is why I would also not take it. I think that essentially you're gambling, like, right, if you're the Jets and you're like, you've had very little success over the past two decades, you take that Super Bowl in a heartbeat. But when you're like a team that's been on the precipice, so many times in NFL history, you were like, this team constantly knocked on the door, and then they ripped like two in a row, or they ripped four out of eight. You know, it is common. It's a common thing with looking at NFL history. The guy who was the one right at the edge finally gets over, and then it's like it just the fountain opens, and it's actually now it's like, I have the knowledge to do this, and it almost becomes second nature.
Let's talk about special teams real fast here. Buffalo brings in punter Mitch Wisniewski. The Aussie comes in and replaces Cameron Johnston, who was placed on injured reserve. So I watched that block punt, but roughing the punter, where Cameron Johnston, visibly upset, took his helmet and slammed it to the turf. Unfortunate that he gets hurt. We're on our third punter in the season. I'm a Sam Martin at this point.
No, let's not go that far. Both of them have been significantly better than Sam Martin. The one I do genuinely miss is Corey Bojorquez, because I think he's still hunting for Green Bay. He's got a really good leg, but he can never get the holding down. He still has some hold issues. So it's one of those things where it's like you're willing to trade that skill of holding the ball for a little bit of punt power, and I'm super okay with that.
Well, what do you think about the Aussie signing here? Obviously, Cameron Johnston going to the IR.
I love it. I love Aussie punters. They are a different breed. And
yes,
I think the reason why they're starting to take off a little bit in the NFL too is because they're a little bit tougher, right? They are, they play Australian rules football, which if you've never seen is awesome. There's a really fun story actually about a basketball player from Texas who got a call one day and was like, hey, do you want to play football? And he was like, what do you mean? And they're like, oh, it's Australian rules football. Signed, and he's one of the best Australian rules football players in Australia. As an American, he's like 6'8", 6'9", and he just dominates the sport. He's really good. It's a really good story to look up. I like the Aussie punters also because they do allow a little bit of what Wes Miles, I think, was one of the big proponents of bringing them over. And that Aussie-style punt, you get a little more vertical hang time. And I think the reason why the Bills like it so much is because at its apex, it starts to spiral, and you don't get a lot of bounce with it. A lot of times, they're the guys who can drop it, and it'll just work. And that style of punt is very good for the NFL.
Well, again, the Buffalo Bills taking on the New England Patriots coming up 8:20 Eastern Standard Time from Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. A reminder, follow us across our social media at facebook.com/BuffaloBillsDraftHouse, DraftHouseSports.com, and across Twitter at DHS Buffalo. Follow me at Bills Bruiser. Follow Alex at TW Callahan DHS. Final thoughts here, Alex?
You know, it has been one heck of a run so far for the Buffalo Bills, and you know what? It just feels like a honor and a privilege comparatively when I was thinking about back when I first got my seats at the Bills. It was, I think, the 2014 season. EJ Manuel was the quarterback. Like, you were like, hey, if we sneak out 4 or 5 games, we really can make a run here. And it to be where we are now just is such a surreal thing, and it's just been such a fun ride so far this season.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree anymore here that this team has been so much fun to watch, to see them grow. Alex, we've been doing this podcast well before even the drought ended, and we got to see them, we got to cover it, and we've seen the growth and development of Josh Allen from rookie with question marks to league MVP to a team who I think is going to make a good run for a Super Bowl this year. So the fun continues, and I'm up for it. Let's go.
Yes, let's go.
All right. Final thoughts?
That's it.
Go Bills?
Go Bills.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. For Alex Jones, I am Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. Go Bills!
This has been the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Available on Spotify, Odyssey, Prime Music, Audible, or wherever you get your podcast.
An R Street Media production.